Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. Hello.
Welcome to Lord Terry's Power Hour, a show where we create our own reality. Thanks for joining us. So, pull up a chair and enjoy the adventure. And now, here's Lord Terry.
Hello. I don't know if anybody can hear me, but it seems that Terry might be having some technical issues on his end. He is back in Allentown, Shira, if you can hear me. Can somebody in the chat room let me know if they can hear me? Okay, so you guys can hear me. Alrighty. Well, apparently we can't hear Terry. I'm going to tell him that. Hello, Terry. I hear beeps. Well, tonight we're supposed to be talking about the High Priestess card. And so I guess I'll just start doing that until he can get it together. And let's see. I'm going to ask people in the chat room and see if... And see if... He's telling me I should hang up and call back in. Okay, I guess I'm going to. Alrighty. Hello. I hope you can hear me. Ah, they can hear me. Yay. Okay, well, Terry is trying his best to get us both back live here. Blog Talk Radio had a banner up as we were signing in that they were having issues. This has been going on a lot recently, and we're going to have to deal with them with that. But anyway, in the meantime, let's talk about the High Priestess. If you look at the High Priestess card, she's sitting on a throne. She has a backdrop behind her with what, to my mind, looks like pomegranate fruit cut in half. She sits between two pillars, one black, one white, one with the letter B on it, one with the letter J on it. And to me, that she has always represented sort of the guardian of intuition, of knowledge, of the underworld in some aspects, the pomegranate sort of signifying that, but also the energy that we are with before we are born and after we are born. There's a lot of, that's my interpretation, there's a lot of Masonic imagery all through the Rider-Waite deck, and this would be another one of them. If you go into any Masonic lodge, you will see the black and white floor, checkered floor. You will see the pillars, and it's pretty universal. She also has been described in some of the literature as being sort of a guardian for souls coming into the underworld, almost like a Persephone, if you will, where she shepherds people as they come through. She gives them the knowledge that they're going to need to get where they need to go in the underworld and into their next life. And so she, again, it's all about the gatekeeper, the knowledge, the intuition, give the secrets, holding on to secrets until you're ready to get them. And usually, if she winds up in a reading that I am doing, I usually think it means you need to listen to your intuition, or you need to find some knowledge about what the thing that you're doing. The B and the J are two names. Shira asked a question in the chat room. B and the J are two names, and one means the beginning. I think they're Hebrewic names, or Hebrew names. And one means the beginning, and one means the end. And yes, and the crown does look like a triple moon, and it is supposed to. It represents the goddess, absolutely. The High Priestess is sort of the spiritual, intuitive, all things having to do with the goddess. And
hi, guys. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now. Thank you.
You are not going to believe what I went through to get this. I'm actually direct connect to get the show active. to keep the show active as host, I'm called in on a guest line.
Huh.
You guys still couldn't hear me when I direct connected, so I'm leaving the direct connect open so that I can so that I could call in on a guest line on the telephone. So something's going on with the host. You can't hear the host. So here's what I think we ought to do. It's just bouncing an idea off of you. Why don't we play the intro and the show intro, the station intro, the show intro, and launch this thing from the get-go?
Okay.
And that way we've got a, we can go back and clean it up later, and we've got a decent, all the sounds we're supposed to have.
Okay, it's up to you. You're the big
How far did you get?
I was talking about the card, you know, the fact that, you know, she's the embodiment of all things intuitive, magical, the goddess aspects.
Oh, cool. I will enjoy hearing that again when you repeat it.
I had a feeling you were going to say that.
Since I missed all of that. So here we go.
Okay.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Lord Onyx, and all the hosts 7 nights a week for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Lord Terry's Power Hour, a show where we create our own reality. Thanks for joining us. So, pull up a chair and enjoy the adventure. And now, here's Lord Terry.
Good evening, good afternoon, good morning, good wherever in the world you are. Welcome to the Power Hour. This is Reverend Terry Power coming to you live from Eastern Pennsylvania. And joined tonight by my lady, my love, my co-hostess on these nights, and joined by Robin. How you doing tonight, darling?
I'm doing well.
All right. So tonight, well, gosh, I mean, we've had so much going on. Why don't we talk for a minute about the past weekend before we launch into the show tonight?
We had... I'm excited about it. We had the best weekend. We went to the Healers event at Thunderhill Farm, Thunderhill Spiritual Center, I should say, at Lady Liberty Farm in upstate New York near Albany. And it was an amazing weekend, so rejuvenating and just refreshed, and met some wonderful people. And finally got to meet Rachel, who's been on the radio with us a couple of times in person. And she makes the most amazing flower essences and essential oils for healings, and she's just amazing. And essentially, we spent the weekend at a wildflower farm, if you can imagine that. The flowers were beautiful. There's a big lake there. It was just, you couldn't ask for a better setting. It was just amazing.
Yeah, and, I spend a lot of time talking with Brian about the construction of the barn and You know, they've got a lot of animals, so of course, you know, our little girl is enjoying playing with the animals and,
mm-hmm.
you know, baby chickens and baby goats and, you know, and I was looking at the construction methods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of these sustainable methods,
mm-hmm.
You know, they, that barn, I've got a picture of the barn I'm going to be getting on the Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings page here very soon.
Mm-hmm.
I have a bunch of pictures to put up over the weekend, so everybody be looking at all of our pages because we're going to be, I'm probably going to be putting up 100 or so pictures over the weekend. But this barn, it just looks so witchy. It's beams and twigs and building material called cob. And those of you that are not familiar, cob is basically clay mud, sand,
mm-hmm.
and straw.
Mm-hmm.
And it's packed into the gaps and the twigs between the beams hold everything. And it's just slathered on, packed into it, dries, and the straw keeps it from cracking and falling apart, and the sand helps also, because
yeah.
clay will get cracked.
Yep.
And then the roof was done in a very similar way. And
mm-hmm.
Then she put a rubber roof liner
mm-hmm.
on top of that, and then canvas, and then dirt. And so there's wildflowers growing all up on top of this roof.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a wood and mud hut with grass and wildflowers growing on top.
At one point,
the gate where they keep the goats. That's just mm-hmm. so cool.
Yeah, at one point during the weekend, there was actually one of the baby goats got up on the roof and was eating the flowers. It was just an interesting mental picture that I've got. And one of the things I was most excited about, and I know you were too, was the rocket stove mass heater that they have,
mm-hmm.
which I think we should do a show entirely on that, to be honest.
Well, I'm going to be working on getting a book.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things that I'm going to be working on, mm-hmm. is getting a hold of that book.
Yeah.
Because that is just too cool.
Yeah, I mean, it's big enough to heat, you know, pretty much a fairly large space. I mean, you know,
yeah.
if we had one in the living room in the house. Now, for those of you who have not been in my living room, I don't have a really big house, but for some reason, the living room is huge. I think it was originally an experiment in the late 60s, early 70s, with one of the very first sort of great room concepts, living room, dining room. But it really doesn't work as a living room, dining room, because the kitchen is big enough to have an eat-in kitchen. So it's really just a huge, long room. I don't know what the dimensions are, but it's a big room. And it's really hard to heat in the winters here. And I have a great design for one of these rocket heaters. So I'm excited
yeah.
about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to be working on some other projects first. Because we're going to be working on some projects. We're going to be looking at at some of the building techniques.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent a lot of time talking with them about different methods of construction. We looked at, we looked at several things, including some of the like dirt bags or earth bags.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about some ideas like using tires
mm-hmm.
as a building, construction material, and of course
right.
packing that with earth.
Mm-hmm.
So You know, so we're looking at, you know, any number of options for, you know, building, putting some buildings on the mountain.
Yep.
And say again, you were going to say something.
No, I just said yes. I was agreeing with you.
Yeah, and, you know, trying out a couple of different methods and then using one of those cabins, basically, putting in a rocket stove and experimenting there so that if it, you know, if there are any difficulties with it, it's in a cabin outside and not in the damn house,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, could be pretty bad. So, so, you know, it's, there was just so much, you know, and I'm looking at maybe doing one earth bag cabin and one tire cabin.
Yeah.
And, you know, getting some people to come up and help us out and build with us. And, of course, you know, people come up to the mountain for the Sabbaths, and of course then we'd have more space for people to stay the night and
mm-hmm.
and you know, make it weekends long, you know, a weekend long kind of thing.
Yeah, that's
and you know, and people can learn how to do this kind of stuff. We can all learn it together.
mm-hmm.
So you know, so I'm just excited about everything from the weekend and then the healing. You know, got some Reiki, got a some
reflexology reading.
Yeah, reflexology.
Really,
yeah, I mean, it was an incredible weekend, and then the nighttime,
mm-hmm.
and the sky was so amazingly black,
mm-hmm.
and the stars.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
And it was stunning. It was stunning to see. I mean, no light pollution.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there was no light pollution. There was no city near us. I mean, we said we were near Albany, but we weren't that near to Albany.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were far enough out in the middle of nowhere that the sky was black. And it was just, it was truly, truly amazing. You know, some of the ideas that came out of the reading, some of the pointing us back in a direction that we had kind of wandered off of.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was just a powerful weekend. So it was exciting and a lot to share with everyone. So, and you will be hearing more about it as we go on because I found the book and we'll be ordering that. Yeah, in the chat room, reflexology reading. Yeah. The guy that does the reflexology that was there doing the reflexology.
His name was Lee.
And his name's Lee, and it still is Lee, I presume. but I'm bonked. He would do readings as he was touching each of the points. He would basically channel, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, it was almost like he was channeling information from your body, doing a reading, like you would do a card reading almost in some ways. And I honestly, when I thought to myself, oh, you know, foot reflexology, I haven't had a good foot massage in a long time, so I'm going to go do that because I love a good foot massage. But it wasn't so much as a foot massage as it was just a sort of very mild pressure in certain spots on your feet. But, I mean, he told me stuff that there's no way he could have known. Stuff like from years and years and years back in my family that apparently was still with me, that, you know, I was still involved in somehow, and trying to overcome these obstacles. It's just really interesting, and they were absolutely accurate, and it was just mind-blowing. And things about my personality that there was no way that he would have known unless he really knew me, and he didn't. So just really amazing. So, and I know you had a good experience with him too.
Yeah, some stuff that some stuff that, that, like I said, it brought me back onto some of the things that we had talked about, and you know, we had looked at. You know, we had looked at all at several different things that we were going to do, and it's just all very powerful to have the to have that discussion with him.
Yes, absolutely.
And the reading was just was very, very informative, very powerful, and there was just so many different things that were a part of the weekend.
Yeah. I'm gonna try and get Rachel on the show. To have her come and talk about a little bit about everybody who was there and what they do, and just in general, like a recap of how the weekend went. And then she decided this year went so well that she'd like to do it for 2 days next year.
Now that's very cool.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that. I told her I would help her. So.
Yeah, there was so much coolness from this weekend, and I can't wait to. You know, some of the same people that we saw, I'm looking forward to seeing some of them again.
Yeah.
And that was it. Obviously we had a very very powerful and moving weekend and an experience that will not be easily, not be easily refuted.
Yep.
So anyway, I think it's probably time that we start start the show. Start talking about the topic we came here for.
Agreed.
And thanks, everybody, for staying with us while we gush about our weekend. Tonight we're going to be talking about we're going to be continuing our series discussing the Fool's Journey and the Major Arcana. And we're going to be talking about the High Priestess cards.
Mm-hmm. Yep, the High Priestess card it is. And why don't I let you go first?
Well, I was actually kind of hoping that you would go first, because I know you've got a lot more to say.
I did a little looking around, and my own experience. When you look at the High Priestess card, she is sitting on her throne. She's got a dark column on one side and a light column on the other. The one column has the letter B on it, and the other column has the letter J on it. These are names in Hebrew, and they are the beginning and the end, which in my mind represents the fact that we are with the Empress, with the High Priestess energy, or the Goddess energy, our intuition and all things internal, magical, having to do with the ethereal, before we are born and after we are born, the beginning and the end. And in the middle of those two columns sits the High Priestess, was the gateway to intuitive knowledge. Also, she sits the gate of, in some ways, the gate to the underworld, if you will, because she's in charge of nurturing people who come through that gate and saying, well, you know, this is where you need to go and this is what you need to know. And, you know, as much as she is also the gateway of our birth, where she says, well, this is what, how you're going to, these are the lessons that you've agreed to learn in this life. And, you know, good luck to you. You know, but she also, if you were to throw her in a reading, one of the things I always think about is it's telling you you need to do more research, learn more, or get in touch with your intuition, listen to that inner voice about whatever it is you're seeking answers about. She also is sometimes commonly referred to in the early Rider-Waite deck. Her common name, when people would throw the card, would be the Popess. So she's considered in many ways the head of the spiritual or religious representation in the cards. The Masonic lodges use a lot of the same imagery that you will find in this card.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about that when we embarked on this, that the Rider-Waite is full of imagery that the, you know, Masons use, the OTO uses, and a lot of the other more ceremonial traditions still utilize today. Did anything you'd want to add?
Well, you know, you hit on the biggest number of the salient points that I had. The interesting part for me is the contrast between the magician that we looked at previously,
mm-hmm.
and the high priestess. That contrast between the two, and there's the the magician is all action, mm-hmm. and the high priestess is like, hey, you got a decision to make, but don't just decide, don't rush.
Mm-hmm.
You know, use your intuition. There's something hidden here that you need to know, that you need to find to make this decision. You know, that she's the gateway to the knowledge that you need.
Mm-hmm.
The magician standing in the sunlight, the high priestess is in the moonlight. The magician is standing, the high priestess is sitting. The active and the resting, or
passive.
No, I wouldn't go passive. The passive isn't the word I was looking for, because passive seems to nothing be happening, but there's a resting more than a passiveness, at least in my feelings about it.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got this total contrast from the very expressive, very outward, very moving, doing, changing, manifesting, to the now let's take a pause, let's rest, let's consider, let's listen to our own voice, let's open ourselves to the mystery, the beginning and the ending, the two decisions that have to be made, or the two items. So, you know, those were the things the ideas that strike me when I'm looking at that card.
Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, there's a decision to make, but don't rush.
Right.
Don't rush. Take a pause, reflect.
Yeah. One of the other things about this card is people often ask me, you know, what's the difference between the High Priestess and the Empress card? And one of the things that's obvious is that the Empress is really in the mother stage. She is the nurturer in the physical realm versus the High Priestess, who is the nurturer in the spiritual / intuitive ethereal realm. And again, you know, in some ways she embodies, if you will, the maiden and the crone energy in the one card, the beginning and the end, the dark and the light. Whereas the Empress comes between those as the physical mother, the one who bears forth life, the vessel, if you will.
Well, I mean, when we get to the Empress, I mean, the Empress is about everything sensual. And I don't mean sexual, I mean sensual. Touch, feel, all the luxury. You know, she's like pentacles, the pentacle suit on steroids. You know? But that's not what we're talking about tonight. So, but you're right. This is more the spiritual aspect. In some ways, you know, you mentioned the maiden. She's almost like the maiden and the crone wrapped into one. She's that trust where the crone becomes the maiden, and in between is the High Priestess card.
Right.
And you can even get that from the two pillars, the black and the white.
Right.
So let's hang on. Let's let everybody know that we are going to take calls tonight.
Oh, yeah.
And it would be cool to hear your thoughts and ideas. If you would like to call in, that number is 646-564-9714. We would love to hear from you. And, you know, ask us any questions. Tell us your thoughts. What do you find meaningful? And you were saying, you were about to say something, so I apologize for interrupting.
That's okay. If you look at the backdrop behind the High Priestess as she sits on her throne, there's the backdrop with what looks to me like pomegranate fruit cut in half, so you can see the little pomegranates, which we know represents the underworld in a lot of ways. And in the Persephone myth, it is the pomegranate that she eats, which is in some ways the thing that, you know, keeps her from returning home to her mother and to the physical above ground world permanently.
I always think of it as it forces her to return to the underworld.
Well, it does. It keeps her
rather than preventing her from coming home. It causes her to have to go back. I don't know. Maybe that's a glass half empty, glass half full kind of attitude.
Yeah, pretty much. But I understand what you're saying. But it ties her to the underworld, and she cannot leave there permanently. She needs to return. And so that creates that, you know, cycle by Demeter. So the pomegranate represents that crossing over, that attainment of knowledge. In some ways, that's almost repeated from the Adam and Eve myth, where Eve takes a bite of the fruit and attains, you know, the knowledge of the flesh, if you will, and you know, dooms all humankind to be cast out of the Garden of Eden.
Okay. Now, there was another comment in the chat room that mirrors something that you were saying, and it was another point that I wanted to bring up. It was noted that in the Rider-Waite imagery, which is what we're using for this entire series, so if you don't like the Rider-Waite, get used to it. We're going to talk about it anyway. That's it's good opening symbology to work with. Yes, she is holding in her lap the Torah,
yes,
symbolizing knowledge.
Yep.
But also, you've got to recognize that it is partially conceived. So in the imagery, yes, she's holding the scroll of knowledge, but she's covering it with her cloak, mm-hmm. at least part of it. And to me, that's always been symbolic of that hidden knowledge, mm-hmm. that the knowledge is here, but you've got to find the mystery.
And you've got to go through her to get it.
Mm-hmm. You know, there is the mystery of the crone becoming the maiden, as you, mm-hmm. you know, so beautifully pointed out. And that's now stuck in my mind, that that will become a part of my readings from now on. Because you said that, and it clicked. Something mm-hmm. about this card that just clicked. That total unconscious awareness, our intuition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, don't rush. Reflect, pause, take into account, you know, our inner voice. Really, I mean, this is about the mystery and about the inner voice. And those are the words that I used, I guess, early on.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the first words that come to my mind when you know, when I see that card. I immediately kind of think of that pause and reflect. And a question in the chat room, so she is stoic and secretive.
Actually,
I think of it as the mysteries that are revealed through contemplation and intuition.
Actually, I think for me, there's an element of complete and open honesty and innocence in this card. She has knowledge. She's more than willing to give it to you with no pretense. But you have to seek it. And she's not really... she's not really being, you know, she's not keeping it from you, but you have to look for it and you have to be ready for it. So she's trying to ask you the question of, are you really ready to know what I have to teach you? Do you really want to hear this? Are you seeking this knowledge? When you think about it, about going to an oracle, right? The oracle is more than happy to tell you what you want to know, to talk to you. I mean, sometimes they were rather obtuse and secretive, but they were there to have discourse with you and talk to you. They were mysterious because of who they were. They were the oracle. And they spoke to the divine and were the voice of the divine. And in some ways, that's how I see the High Priestess card. She is there to give you the knowledge, but you've got to seek it, you've got to be ready for it, and you've got to understand her and her mystery. So I don't think there's like a protective, you know, I'm going to keep you from seeing this knowledge aspect to her, secretive, if you will. But I do think that she's mysterious in that we can never fully understand her role, just like you can never fully understand the oracle and what their job, their position is. And it's intuition. It is mystery. It is...
Yeah, we're seeking in the green field. No, understand that you're seeking and will avail you not until you understand the mystery.
Mm-hmm.
For I have been with you from the beginning, and I am that which is attained at the end of desire. The knowledge is there. It's mm-hmm. not a secret.
Right.
It's not hidden.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it's hidden in that it is not, you know, on billboards, you know, figuratively speaking.
Mm-hmm.
But the answers are there if we listen to that inner voice and look
right.
within. Right. So while we're paused for a moment, why don't we go ahead and take a break? We're at about halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
And... let's see. I was looking at some Darv the Bard songs, and You know, I was just flipping through them, and I'd had an idea for one song, but Land of the Ever Young seemed to stick with me, I guess because we were talking about the underworld. So I think we're going to hear Dard the Bard, Land of the Ever Young, and we'll be back with you in about 5 minutes or so. So stick around, enjoy the song, and remember, we are taking callers tonight at 646-564-9714. Thanks a lot, guys.
one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it. And we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
You're listening to Lord Terry's Power Hour on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. And now, back to Lord Terry.
And welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Powell. You're listening to the Power Hours, and Robin has been with us tonight. Are you back there, darling? Are you back with us?
Yes, I am.
All right, and we've been talking about the High Priestess, the High Priestess card in the tarot deck, and the Fool's journey as he walks through the major arcana. You know, I mean, in some decks, the Fool wasn't even, well, I mean, the numbers were different. And the Fool was in there in a different place. And I found that interesting when I was reading that once before. But, you know, here we've got the Fool who has, you know, come across this beautiful woman sitting on a throne, the goddess crown on her head, between these two pillars of black and white. And, you know, it's, what do we do with all of this? What do we do with the knowledge we gain from the magician? You know, in some ways, the decision isn't what do we need to know, but what do we need to know about? The knowledge and the tools and the gifts were all given to us by the magician. But now what do we do? What do we do with these? And it's time to reflect. You know, listen to our inner voice. What are we supposed to be doing? You know? What are we supposed to be doing with all of this?
Right.
And, you know, I like to talk about that Fool's journey aspect of the major arcana. You know, not just what does the card mean, but what does it mean to the traveler through the deck, through the through this experience, what do we learn? What do we experience?
Right.
What is the lesson that we should take from this as we walk this path? From the Fool going where angels fear to tread, meeting the magician who gives us the tools, the chalice, the sword, the staff, and the pentacle. The four elements, the ideas of everything that's encapsulated in the tarot. And then we meet the High Priestess. we look to her for knowledge of what to do with this stuff.
Right.
Okay, we've been given the tools. I don't know, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
And her answer is, you already know. She's not hiding the knowledge. She's telling us to look for it. It's there already.
Right.
It's when we stop. How many times do I say, tell people, sit down, shut up, and listen?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, sometimes you need to sit down, take a break, and let your intuition come to the fore.
Yeah, the High Priestess is the sit down, shut up, and listen card.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow, I didn't just end the discussion there, did I?
No, no.
I'm just
thinking about it.
Well, while you're thinking, I will tell everybody that we do have still a few more minutes if anyone wants to call in. They can call in at 646-564-9714 and get your thoughts on the air. Now, we've had a very lively chat room and, you know, a lot of good ideas and questions coming out of the chat room. So anybody that's in the chat room is also free to hop in there with your questions. And again, if you're listening through some method that is not directly into BTR, you know, Blog Talk Radio, if you log in and get a free account, then you can log in for the show, listen for free, of course, and listen and be fully participating in the chat room.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes if you're not in the chat room, you're missing a lot of the show.
This is true.
You know, sometimes the show, sometimes the chat room follows the show, and sometimes
not
it
so much.
Doesn't. Yeah, it doesn't at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then any variation in between.
Mm-hmm.
And it allows you another level of participation. So you can ask questions without having to actually call in. And it's a lot of fun. So you were thinking, did you formulate the thought that you were seeking?
Well, I was just thinking that the High Priestess, yeah, I was talking earlier about the Oracle, and I'm wondering if maybe that's not a really good way to describe her to a layperson when you're doing a reading, is sort of, you know, the Oracle of knowledge, and this is a very accessible, you know, because there's always the language you need to use with people who are not so familiar with the cards and not so familiar with what they mean. I've always found a difference between the way you talk to people who are, you know, well-versed in the cards, or people who have a little knowledge but not a lot, and people who know nothing about them. Those are the people that when you throw the death card, they flip out, you know.
Yeah. Of course, that's sometimes fun to watch, you know, particularly when you're doing a, when you're doing public reading. When I lived in Gulfport, we had art walk, a Friday night and a Saturday night, weekends, 2 weeks apart. And they would shut down the main strip. Mm-hmm. And there was a little park, and they would set up a small stage, and bands would come in and play. And they asked me to come out and set up a booth and do readings.
Mm-hmm.
So for about 9-10 months, twice a month, I was out there doing, little demonstration readings, really more than anything else. I mean, know, in a 15-minute quick little sample reading, you really can't get that much, that you know, much depth. But watching people that thought they knew the cards was always fun. And the writer waits a very recognizable and, to a certain degree, understandable symbolism. There's something visceral about it. It speaks to a lot of people in a profound way. The symbolism is not too hard to follow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it's relatively straightforward symbolism.
Right.
So you're right. Watching somebody kind of flip out when you turn the death card,
mm-hmm.
and you got to spend a few minutes teaching them that that's not about, not usually anyway, not about physical death,
mm-hmm.
In this incarnation, but it's more about the transformation. But yeah, I mean, the High Priestess card, returning to our theme here, it is definitely kind of a mysterious card. A lot of people don't get it. There's been some very, what's the word I'm looking for? Insightful comments in the chat room tonight,
mm-hmm.
Noticing some of the symbolism.
Right.
Addressing some of the meanings of some of these symbols. And it was interesting to see. Again, I think the symbolism used with the Rider-Waite is so visceral and so easy to follow that it is a good card deck to start with. The symbols are kind of in your face. I think we talked about that the last time. The symbolism, the symbols used, and even the colors used in this in the Rider-Waite,
mm-hmm.
are pretty much in your face.
Yeah.
And that's a good learning tool. So as we wrap up, another insightful question or comment in the chat room. Shira suggests using the title Mother of Knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's interesting. As we were saying, we kind of both think of her as that crone becoming maiden, in between the knowledge of the world and the innocence of the maiden.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I both very much equate the mother more with the Empress, and you'd already touched on that.
Mm-hmm.
The Empress is like the mother card, the mother goddess card. The mother of knowledge, certainly the keeper of knowledge, the sharer, mm-hmm. of knowledge, the provider of knowledge.
Yeah.
At least the knowledge of where to seek the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, the answers are not with the High Priestess. The answers are with us. And we're told to seek them within us. So, that's the interesting part, is she holds the scroll, but that scroll is like, here's what you need to know, now to go do it.
Mm-hmm.
The answers are within. And I think that's pretty much my summation. That's the essence of my understanding of the High Priestess, is that she is the vehicle by which we sit down, shut up, and listen. And since I asked you to take the first word, I will also give you the last word tonight, my lady.
um, I think that when you look at the High Priestess card, she really embodies the concept of listening to one's intuition, of meditation and reflection, and seeking knowledge to help you move forward on your path. And, you know, as we're doing these cards, I always think of, as you go through the major arcana, the Fool is walking along his path and he's meeting each of these cards. That's how I've always envisioned it in my mind. And so the Fool, you know, is actually representing us, each individual, walking through the deck. And so the Fool is meeting the High Priestess, and he's learning that he needs to follow his intuition, and he needs to look within for help. We all have the tools inside ourselves, readily available to solve all our problems and be healthy and be happy. The problem is we don't access them. And it is with the High Priestess card that she is telling us to look within and access that knowledge to help us be happier, healthier, and to move forward on our path in a constructive way. She is a great card to sit down, look at, and meditate over, and use her as a representation of that inner knowledge and how to connect with it, and do meditations with her regularly for that sort of work.
Yeah, I think I lied.
Hmm?
I think I lied.
Are you going to say something else?
Yeah, you struck upon something.
You can't ever let me
else.
Have the last word.
Oh, hell.
<Sorry. laughs> I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Hey, twice a week is about the only time I do get the last word.
I'll be quiet,
about?
You.
Because I've got the button. But, no, you struck on something else. She helps us to understand how to use the gifts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the magician helps us to find our gifts. And the High Priestess helps us to find that inner knowledge of how to use those gifts. And when you said what you did, you said something, and suddenly that was another thought that clicked into my brain. I love these talks we have about the cards, because your understanding is different than mine. And, you know, I've been reading for, you know, 30 years, but I still pick up something from our conversation. So thank you.
You're welcome. See that? You're never too old to learn to something.
Hey, if I learn something new, it's a good day.
That's it.
Every day.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. If someone would like to get in touch with us, or anyone at the radio station, you can email cern.org@gmail.com. You can also email Robin and myself. We have a shared email address at littlestonebridge@gmail.com. You can look for our Facebook page, Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings. Now go to the page, take a look around, and click the like button. That's one of those pages that if you like us on Facebook, then we can see you, and you'll start getting announcements when the announcements come out about shows and the promised pictures that will be posted over the weekend. And you'll see all of that kind of coolness. Let's see, we've also got the Spiritual Unity Radio Network Facebook page. And my lady has her show, which is going to be moving to Monday nights starting next Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And that is Spiritual Wellness Physical Health. And that has a Facebook page as well. So go and check that out.
Mm-hmm.
And how else does someone find you, darling?
Well, they can find me at my Facebook page, Robin A. McKean. They can find me at the Spiritual Wellness Physical Health Facebook page. I don't know if you said that.
Spiritual Wellness Physical Health. Yes, ma'am, I did.
Yep, okay. And also at the Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings Facebook page. And I believe that's about it.
Okay. And if anyone is trying to get in touch with me, you can find me on Facebook. There are several people with the name Terry Power. So you have to look for the Terry Power in North Copley, Pennsylvania. And you will also see something about Spiritual Unity Radio Network. I know this because someone was searching for it a couple of weeks ago, and they said they were actually not associated with the station. They were trying to find me and add me for something else. And they said, what's this about Spiritual Unity Radio Network? Yep, you found the right one. So that's very early in your search. So you can find me that way. You can also look at my public figure page, which is Rev Terry Power HP. That's another one of those that you want to go to and click like. So, you know, like us. We want you to like us. Like us on Facebook.
Please, pretty please.
And you can also follow me on Twitter at Rev Terry Power HP. Mm-hmm. So, I think that we're pretty well summed it up. It's not like we're hard to find. So, gosh, this was a fun show in a quick hour.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Looking forward to some of the changes coming up with the station, moving spiritual wellness, physical health to Monday night is going to free up our travel schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And some of our abilities to travel to events, such as the Healers Helping Healers event we went to this past weekend, and some upcoming appearances. I think we're going to be appearing at Libertine in that Midian, Camp Midian in Indiana on Labor Day weekend.
Yep.
And I'll just go ahead and throw this out there. We're going to some of the stuff that I got from this past weekend, some of the inspiration I received, was getting people involved in what we're doing at the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
And some of these, cob construction techniques, some of the earth bags and the used tires, and all of those kind of things, getting people involved. So we're probably going to schedule a couple of days for people to come up and play and learn with us. And of course, those people will have, kind of first dibs on the cabins they help build when they want to come up and spend a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the payoff on the other end of it. Not only do you get the knowledge, but you get to build your very own bedroom at the mountain. So, anyway, look for some of that. And then we've also been called back to looking at doing some of our workshops.
Yeah.
So I'll be watching our Facebook pages. We're going to be doing some more webinars, and we're going to be putting together some workshops in the coming calendar year. Now, I know I say the coming calendar year in August, but guys, we only got about four months left of the year, four or five mm-hmm. months left, so we're already starting to plan.
Right.
So a lot is going to be happening. So go to our Facebook pages, like them, follow what we're doing, and you'll have an opportunity to be involved.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to share what we're doing. So, I think that's about all I've got. What else did you have, darling?
That was it. You said it all.
Well, I don't think I said it nearly all, but I said enough for tonight. All right. Thanks to everyone for being a part of the show, everybody in the chat room for your insightful commentary and some very well thought out questions. Your questions in the chat room make us look better. So we appreciate you tremendously. Thanks to all of our listeners at whatever venue and method you have found to listen to us. And there apparently is about a dozen of them, and we're thrilled that you have found one of them. Stick around. Keep listening. We're going to continue this fool's journey through the major arcana in between rituals and stuff like that on Tuesday night. So it's always going to be something interesting. And I guess that's about it. Thanks again, and may you all have a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, and blessed be.
Good night, blessed be.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.